might want to turn with me, amen, in the word of the Lord. I want to go to passage of scripture, amen. You're hearing John the 14th chapter. Thank you, ma'am. John the 14th chapter. Amen. And it does feel good to feel God. We had wonderful services today. Amen. I appreciate Brother Corbett being on our team. Amen. And at the jail. Amen. He got to witness some things happening today in the Holy Ghost. Amen. John the 14th chapter, verse 23 and 24 and 25. 14, 23, 24, and 25. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which he hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken of you, being yet present with you. Might as well read verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Somebody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to keep my words. And I want to talk to you tonight about the key to God's heart. The key to God's heart. And today I want to share with you what the Lord has show me, and I definitely want the key to God's heart. Some people say they believe the key to God's heart is love. Some people believe it's faith. Some people believe it's service. But the key to God's heart is obedience. I want to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. Tonight in this place, I want you to picture yourself as a student. Don't ever get to the place that you think you graduated. Hear me. Amen. Don't ever think that you're too old to obey God, or too seasoned to obey God, or too smart to obey God. Amen. Everybody is ripe and ready for God at any time to speak to you. Amen. For responsive obedience. Amen. You're never too old. Amen. For God to speak to your heart and challenge you. It's amazing that, let me just say this, that Brother Alvin Long, amen, our precious Brother Long was in our church for many years. He has three boys and two daughters, and his oldest son, Anthony and his wife, when they would come to church, they always came late. This is Brother Long's testimony, and they always came, and they always sat in the back of the church, and They were the types that were not really involved, even though they came to church. They were there, but they were not totally involved. And they was in the picture, in the frame of the church and the congregation, but it was like they would just show up. Well, Anthony retired from his job, and they moved to Mineola, which is North Texas, north of Tyler. And, you know, they were accustomed to living in Pasadena, South Houston area, and always have gone to Brother McLean's church there. So they were looking for larger churches, and were willing. In the country, it's nothing to drive 30 miles. When you're used to driving 15 miles in city and taking you an hour and a half to get there, I mean, the country, man, it's woo. So they started looking at these big churches in Tyler. They looked in Longview. They looked at driving distance of these churches, and Brother Alvin said, man, why don't you go to church there? They said, oh, it's just a little church. But they went one time, and the pastor's wife, she called, I can't remember Anthony's wife's name, maybe Lori. I can't remember Lori. And she said, hey, we sure enjoyed y'all coming the other night. Would you come back? Now, Anthony's retired. I mean, he's been in church all his life, and they've been in church. But listen to this. Finally, they decided to go back. They went back to that church right by their house instead of driving. And they started going in pretty soon. They got involved in the church. And they started, and the pastor said, hey, I want you to teach a Bible study. Pretty soon, Anthony and Lori got so involved in church that they were pouring themselves in it, and God started using them. Can I give you the rest of the story? Anthony is a preacher now, preaching the gospel. Amen. He just received his license as a preacher just recently. And it all started, amen, at an age where normally people would even give God an ear or an opportunity. Can I talk to you today that obedience is the key to God's heart? You're never too old, amen, for God to get a hold of your heart. God wants you to be effective, and God wants to use your life. And tonight in this audience, the students that are here, you are a student of God, and God wants it to be always in your heart. Never, never lock the door on God. Never, never, never give God just a call waiting. Always be that one that says a very prompt yes to God. Amen. Because when God knocks on the door, God has something for you. God's ready to do something with you right then. Amen. Oh, you're thankful for the grace and the power of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Never should be that God, amen, is put off for a little bit. But God is giving that yes from your heart. Amen. Oh, friend, God is ready to use people in this church. Can I just go a little bit more specific and narrow it down? God wants to use you, student. God wants to use you, individual. Remember, we're all students. We haven't graduated. We haven't made it to the other side. And while we're here on this earth, you may be 75 years old or 15 years old. You are a candidate for God to use, amen, his kingdom. Never get to the place that you write yourself off. Because when you write yourself off, God may say, hey, hold it. You're cutting me out of the picture. Amen. You're cutting my hand out of your life. Amen. I want the hand of God to be always in my life. Amen. Praise God. The key to God's heart is obedience. Being a good student of the word. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke, the fifth chapter. Luke chapter 5. You know, there's some people that have conditional obedience. Conditional obedience means, God, I will obey you if you do this for me. Conditional. Oh, situational. God, if this situation arises, I will obey you. But I want to say this tonight, even when you can't see the reason why, you need to say yes to God. Hear me close tonight. Amen. You may not know what's right around the corner. And when you're trying to operate off of sight and feeling, amen, you're going to get yourself in trouble as a student. Amen. Because God is supreme and sovereign. Even when you can't feel him, even when you can't see it, amen, God has a plan that he wants to work out for you. Always be that student. Luke, the fifth chapter, verses 1 through 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, speaking of Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. Verse 3. And he entered one of the ships, which was Simon's. Just so happened. Simon the fisherman, and prayed him that he would thrust out just a little bit from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Remember, Simon was busy washing his nets. But the Lord entered his ship. Amen. Simon was busy, but the Lord entered his ship. Are you thankful for the day that the Lord stepped in your life? Oh, what a difference was made, you know, amen, ever since Jesus stepped in the boat of Simon Peter, the fisherman. Let's look at it. Amen. And he said, launch out just a little bit from the land. And Jesus basically sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And there's nothing like it when God operates out of your life. Out of your life now. Teach him out of Peter's ship. Isn't it amazing how God just all of a sudden works? God has something in the plan for your life. Let's go on a little bit further. And Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. And Simon, I'm not going to leave you in the shallows. I want you to get out in the deep. Are you thankful that God has something a little greater than what you've always supposed and suspected? Amen. God don't want you to just be, amen, one of these little bitty nothings. God has something for your life. But pastor, you don't know how big the trial. You know how big Goliath is. But you don't know what God has for you, David. Don't ever, ever underestimate what God has for you. Launch out into the deep. And let down your nets for a draught. Let down your net. Oh, unusual request by the Lord here. And Simon answered him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. The Lord began to impose on him, and he's washing the net. They had fished all night long. See, the fish weren't biting in the daytime. Fishermen know the time they're biting, where they bite, and the place. And the Lord said, come on, let's launch out into the deep. But Lord, it's daytime. The fish have been biting at night. In fact, we toiled all night and didn't catch a thing. The Lord said, set your net out. Let your net down. I want to tell somebody, when things in your life don't work, amen, God still has a plan for your life. Amen. Oh, friend, but you just got to obey God. Amen. Peter obeyed. Nevertheless, he said, at thy word, I'm going to put my net down. Amen. Are you thankful for that day that the Lord had confidence in opportunity for you? That he would look at you and say, hey, put your net down. I have something for you. Amen. Even though you may be a professional seasoned fisher that knows the ways, the currents, the fish, here comes a carpenter aboard your ship. Here comes just a teacher aboard your ship. But often when you're a student, amen, and you recognize that the God that we serve is more than a teacher. He's a master teacher. He's the God of heaven. And when he steps aboard your ship, he has something great for your life. It ought to be whatever you say, Jesus, I'm doing it. How beautiful. How beautiful. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going to do it. Well, verse 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. Aren't you thankful how God overloads things? Amen. He just don't fill the cup. He fills it overflowing. God, when he blesses and decides to bless, God wants you to feel that abundance. Amen. Today in the jail, when I used the illustration of Jose in the jail, I had a bottle of water. I shook it and I said, it's just like having a soda, a Coca-Cola in a bottle, and you shake it and shake it. And when you open it up, amen, y'all know what happens. I love the power of God, because you cannot contain what God's going to do. Amen. There's no telling what God will do when you just let God be God. Overflow. The net was so filled that the nets begin to break. And look what it says. And they beckon unto their partners, other ships, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled what? Both ships. Both the ships were filled. A net that could fill both ships. I'm telling you, there was not room for another fish in either ship. Because when God fills it, he fills it to the brim. I'm telling somebody, when you obey God, you're making room for God to bless you. Amen. You may wonder, why did I have to, God, why did you impress me to give that $100? I hadn't found $105 yet from you. Amen. Hang on. God is a God that sees beyond the picture. In fact, both ships were so full that they began to what? Man, that's a joyful situation. Amen. Well, don't you know those fishermen were so excited? Amen. To head back to the land. When Simon Peter saw it, He fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And finally, he gets to the place where he recognizes his condition and the condition of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, "For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon." You see all the other people included in it? "And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." What a change. "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and did what?" Boy, I'm telling you, I feel the sweet spirit of the Lord tonight for somebody. Remember, you're the student. We're learning from this case and scenario, this situation. Amen. How the Lord, somebody just simple obedience, amen, how that key unlocked the blessings of God in the lives of these fishermen. Peter, James, and John, their life was forever transformed by a simple yes to God, permitting God, whenever things seem, "Hey, why you want to do this? I don't know, that's unreasonable. We toiled all night. But nevertheless, at your word, we're going fishing." He recognized something in Jesus. Now, there are several truths found in this passage of scripture. Number one, I want to share with you. Obeying God in small matters is essential to God's greatest blessings. Amen. How essential it is when God says, "I want you to do the small things." Suppose Peter said, "I'm busy cleaning my nets right now. I can't help you. I'm going fishing again tonight. I'm trying to get my nets all fixed for tonight's fishing, and I just don't have the time." What if he would have said that? Or what would his rebuttal would have been, "Lord, why don't you use that other boat over there?" Well, that sounds like us, don't it? "Or I've already been fishing today." It would have been a waste of time to go, "I fished all night. The fish are not biting in the middle of the day." If Peter had said any other thing, then yes, he would miss the greatest fishing experience in his life. Woo! Because Peter's obedience, the Lord arranged a miracle that would be the start, the very genesis. You see, when you got the Creator in your boat, and when God comes through, it's by His grace and His provisions that things will happen. Amen. God is able to speak, amen, to the nothing, the empty net, and the empty night of toiling and weariness. And God is able to fulfill and to bless you. Amen. Oh, I want to thank God tonight for His blessings, His spirit in my life. Obedience. Obedience here was the key to just a small matter, just something small. Next thing, oftentimes God's greatest blessing comes as a result of our willingness to do something that appeared to be very insignificant. So ask yourself, has God been challenging you to do something that seemingly may be unimportant to you? But tonight, the Lord wants to accomplish something through your life by just that small thing. You see, if a big task was up here and I said, "Okay, I need somebody tonight to, we're going to give you a title. We're going to make you this. And you're going to get an office. And we're going to put a little deal on the door that says director of this or whatever, whatever." Man, but people line up. "Oh, I like to do that." But whenever there is a small task, amen, the Lord loves those that realize that you're nobody, trying to tell everybody about a somebody who could save anybody. Amen. The Lord is looking for somebody to recognize who they're not and who they can be in Him. Hallelujah. Is there anything that you have rationalized in your life by saying, "That's too difficult. I don't want to do it." Or, you know, or there's some that will say, "I have to pray about it." Man, if God's speaking to you, why you had to pray about it? You got to negotiate with yourself? Huh. Hey, if God's speaking, why do you have to go pray? Maybe you have to go pray through about it. Amen. But isn't it beautiful whenever somebody Amen. Just recognize it's a yes to God. It's crazy because there's some people hung up with their own way. It's just got to be their way. They're stubborn in the wrong way. Thank God for stubbornness in the right way. But we need to get to the place that we learn the voice of God and learn to say yes to God. Now, the second thing, our obedience. As a result of our obedience, sometimes it could be beneficial to other people. Think about it. Look at all the different people that were blessed by Peter's obedience. Not only did the Lord step into Peter's boat, but James and John was his partners. I believe they were the ones in the other boat. In addition to the crowd being able, even when the Lord said, hey, lunch out just a little bit, I need to teach this crowd. Peter allowed the Lord to do that, and he obeyed the Lord in that simple thing. Think, it started with that simple thing. That simple little first step, that baby step of obedience. Jesus steps in and said, hey, lunch out just a little bit. I need to teach this crowd. So not only was Jesus able to teach the crowd, they were able to hear him, and they were able to see him. Hey, he was able to sit down in the boat. I want to tell you, I want God to be seated in my life. I want God to feel comfortable in my life, to sit in my life on the throne of my heart. I want to ask you today, are you sitting and occupying that throne in your heart? Or is the Lord Jesus, does he have liberty to sit aboard your ship? Amen. Does he have the liberty? Amen. I want you to know that the Lord, amen, began to sit and he began to teach. And the next thing, there came some more requisitions or requests of God. You know, I love it because God definitely has a plan. And for you to reach that place where God has planned, you're going to have to follow some things. You got to allow God to do some things and allow God to be in the Lord position of your life. The Lord means that he is in control of everything. He's the owner of everything. Does God have ownership to your life? Is he Lord of all? I mean of all. Is he Lord of all? If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. He's got to be Lord of everything. Yeah. Here's Peter. His blessing benefited other people. Jesus was able to sit down, teach from the boat. And not only that, but you think about the benefits of the other friends that had a profitable day as well. I love it whenever I get the opportunity to say, hey, come and help me. Look what God is blessing. I love the ability to share the load. Not only was there just a boat, there was another boat that came. Yep, and the Bible says both of those boats were filled as a result of the work of God that started with Peter just saying yes. Man, I believe in my soul that if 40 boats were there, there were 40 boats filled. Amen. You know the reason why I believe that? I mean, remember the story where Jesus taking the bread and the fishes and feeding the multitude. And the Bible says, and they took up 12 baskets remaining. Amen. I want to tell somebody, hey, when God is in your picture, God is able to fill you overflowing. And bless other people. Woo. Hallelujah. So, profitable was not only Peter, but other boats as well. More important, they had the opportunity to witness something supernatural. Man, I'm telling you, there's something about it, brother and sister, in this house tonight, about being a witness of the hand and the operation of the Almighty God. I love it. Amen. Sister Crosswhite and I were just 20 years old. We were preaching in Austin, Texas. And a young man in that church had received the Holy Ghost and was baptized in Jesus' name. And he was part of a gang there in the Austin area. Somebody had taken and they had broken a wine bottle, and they had gouged his eyes to where he was blind. And in that service that night, we were just talking about the goodness of God, the beauty of God, and just preaching. The only thing I knew what to do was preach. But would you know that the goodness of God reached in that blind boy's eyes that night? And all of a sudden, that young man took off running around that church. Amen. God filled Pete with the Holy Ghost in that service. He opened the eyes of that boy. Friend, when you say yes to God, look at God. There is a domino effect of the blessings of God. Even when somebody learns to just let God be God. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. That started a revival in Austin, Texas. The pastor's son had gone astray. He'd gone into a different type of lifestyle, and he had had AIDS, and him despised the church. He loved his mom and daddy, but he despised the church. But during that revival, guess who walks in that revival, and guess who God refills with the Holy Ghost? Amen. A little bit later, Tim died, amen, of AIDS. But I want to tell somebody, amen, he died in the boat, the Lord in his boat. Amen. As a result of somebody learning to say yes to the Almighty God, your obedience can be beneficial to other people. God often rewards other people, especially those close to us, as a result of our obedience. For example, no father can be obedient to God without the blessings pouring out on his wife and his children. And hear this, a young person, amen, a child's obedience will likewise bless his or her parents. Obedience is the key to God's heart. Don't you want the blessings of God? You learn to obey. Amen. Oh, friend, you may not understand it. You may be a hard-headed, and your head may be, and heart may be hard as a turtle shell. And you're coming against and bucking every principle, every rule. Amen. The Bible says rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. But if you learn to become obedient, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. God don't see anything right with you when you're obedient, disobedient. You're hindering God from doing what he wants to do by disobedience. But when you turn the key and hand God the key by obeying the Almighty God, God will do great things in your life when you let God be God. Amen. Now, the next thing I want to point out, that obeying God may require doing something that it may appear unreasonable, questionable to you. Peter was a skillful fisherman. We talked about that. And he knew all the fishing spots, the ways of the fish. But the Lord said, let's go fishing. Let's go fishing. Peter probably thought, well, this carpenter, this teacher, you know, he don't know what it's like. He just wanting to have a little fishing trip. But he probably said, you know, it's midday. The fish not biting right now. But I love the scripture because he said, nevertheless, at thy words, we're going to do it. Amen. To give credit, Peter chooses to obey. In spite of all the knowledge that he's had, all the experience that he had. Amen. Well, I've been in church all my life and it don't work that way. Well, it works his way. Be a good student. You're always up for another lesson, aren't you? Amen. I love it when God, amen, takes two, amen, and five, amen, feeds the multitude. Two little things of bread and five fishes. Amen. God is able to feed the multitude when you put it in his hands. Praise God. Now, so Peter chose to obey. Our obedience to God should never be based on whether something seems rational or fits the way the world is thinking. And don't even put the world in the same perspective with obedience to God. It despises me when my kids used to say this, but everybody else is doing it. And I looked at them and said, I don't wear everybody else's shoes. They stink. We're not everybody. And I looked at them, they used to say, it's not fair. And I said, it's not a fair, it's a circus. Mm-hmm. Obedience, even when you don't understand, even when you can't perceive. And I want to say that doesn't always, that, you know, to say that God always bypasses common sense. God does want to use wisdom and common sense, but oftentimes what he requires may not appear reasonable or match your preconceived idea. Amen. Childlike faith. Childlike faith is amazing faith. The next thing, when we obey God, we will never be disappointed. You'll never be disappointed. Based on his experience at fishing, Peter undoubtedly assumed Jesus' instruction would amount to just be killing time. Well, he just wants to go on a joyride. I've been places that they say, man, the fish are biting, brother. You need to go. Man, and by the time I go fishing with them, amen, it's crazy. We fish and we fish and we fish and we fish, and, you know, the fish quit biting the day that I try to go. Mm-hmm. And Peter probably laughed in his mind. He said, well, the fish are not biting. They're not running today. We're going to be killing time. But when he complied to the simple request, he would be gripped with the excitement at what the Lord was bringing about. So we, like Peter, must recognize that obeying God is always the wise course of action. Jesus turned an empty boat into full boats. And he could take our emptiness, whether it's our finances, our relationships, or our careers, and Jesus is able to change it into something splendid and thriving. But my question is, does God have that opportunity in your life? Does God have liberty to work and change your life? Does God have the opportunity and liberty to work with you as a student? Next thing. Our obedience allows God to demonstrate his power in our lives. If Peter had said no, he would messed up an awesome demonstration of divine power that made his faith skyrocket and marked the beginning of the most thrilling 3 years that anyone can imagine being a follower of Jesus. What do you think? You know, when Peter saw the Lord walk on the water, and Peter said, hey, if it's you, let me walk to you. Peter had the privilege to step out of the boat and walk on the water, all because of his obedience that started back with that little day. And that apostle's faith grew to the point that he believed that the master had not only control of the fish in the water, but had absolute authority over the water. Isn't that great? Next thing, obeying God always results in deeper understanding. Somebody say deeper. Can God take your understanding deeper? Can God take your prayer life deeper? Can God take your faith deeper? Can God get you past the milk into the meat of the word of the Lord? Amen. You've always read the Bible, but can God turn the light on for you and make you a student to where all of a sudden your hunger, amen, begins to allow you to be filled? Amen. You've read the same little passage for years, but today, can God take you on a learning journey to open your eyes of understanding and fill your faith? Can God have that privilege? You know, how amazing. Obeying God always results in that deeper understanding. You know, prior to the incident, Peter probably just regarded Jesus as just being a carpenter. Then he learned and watched him teach, and he began to look to him as rabbi. He heard the profound truth that Jesus taught the crowds. And so he said, man, this guy has amazing ability to teach. So he's a rabbi. But after following Jesus a little bit, and after seeing what Jesus had done and who Jesus was, amen, by contrast, amen, that lowly fisherman who always would probably be just a little fisherman, because of his simple faith that day, look at the journey that God took him, that one day Jesus turns around and says, Simon, disciples, who do men say that I am? Some of them said, oh, they think you're John the Baptist. They say that you're just a prophet. And then he turns the question on them, student, who do you think I am? And Peter, oh, the one that just thought he was maybe a carpenter or maybe just a rabbi, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what Jesus' response was? Blessed art thou, Simon Barjonas. Flesh and blood did not do that. Amen. You did not just get that. That wasn't just a whim. That was a divine encounter. Had it not been on that day that the Lord stepped in his boat and said, let's just go out just a little bit so I could teach, Peter would have never got to that point of a dramatic transformation in his life. The likelihood, he would have spent the rest of his life fishing for fish. But everything changed in one simple act. He laid down willfully his nets and walked into a whole new lifestyle of following Jesus. God can revolutionize lives. For some, they think this is just, you know, revolution. Oh, God, fill my boat. I want to say God wants to do more than fill your boat. God wants to fulfill your life. It may be a change. And I'm looking for changes to happen in this congregation. This is what I feel. Isabel, you were singing tonight. There you are. And you know why you were singing? I didn't know who was behind me. And I turned around and I seen Isabel. And I thought, what if? And just a little bit, if you let God, Isabel, what if you continue to let God, and as a student, what's going to happen in a few years when God uses your life beyond what you've ever dreamed and thought of? I'm telling you, every one of you, everyone in this place, including my mama, I'm not going to give your age. Can God have permission to use your life? You're not old hard clay. You wouldn't be in the house of God tonight. You're pliable clay that the master says, I want to make something great out of. God don't want in his church, he don't want something that's just junk and halfway. God is ready to use you as his masterpiece for his glory. Can God use you? God's ready to start in your life. Woo, hallelujah. It comes with a simple yes to God. Are you willing to do what God says and when he says it and how he says it? Are you willing to leave all the consequences to him? I can remember when I got married, Sister C and I lived in an evangelist quarters in Woden. And that evangelist quarters was about the size of the Sunday school office. It did have a little bathroom and a shower. Would you know that when I came there, I had a carload of stuff. Sister Crosswhite had a carload of stuff. And today, if we were going to move anywhere, it would take a train load. Not one car. We got a bunch of junk. But you know, if the Lord told me right now, sell out. I want to be willing. I may scratch my hand and say, oh God, why? But I want to be willing to say yes to God. Amen. Oh God, I want to trade everything I got for his everything. I want to trade my part, amen, for the glory of the Almighty God. Does God have that permission in your life? Amen. To be wholly surrendered to God. Amen. Begins by you simply obeying with the small things. If you can't handle the small requests from God and the small things from God, you'll probably never grow to the larger things in God. The simple little key that opens the door of God's anointing and God's blessing is when you learn to obey the simple things. Do you remember the good servant in the Bible that the Lord said, well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you have been a wise, faithful servant over small things, I'm going to make you an authority over 10 different cities. I want to tell somebody, amen, unless you say yes to a little request of God, you'll never know what your life could be Amen. You'll never know the wonderful blessings. Amen. The key is God having your obedience completely. Now, the anointing of the Lord is in this place right now. I could pray for you, but I can't do your praying for you. I could yield to the Holy Ghost with you, but I can't do your yielding. Amen. I want you to lift your hands and yield to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Would you let the Lord's touch and speak to you? Is there something you're hanging on to in your life you're having problem obeying? Amen. Something that you're hanging on to that you're stubborn with, that is stubborn the wrong way? Amen. I want somebody to yield and say yes to God tonight. God, whatever it is for my life, Lord, whatever I had to shut the door on, whatever I had to forsake, Lord, whatever the thing that I've been doing, I need to leave and turn my back on for you, God. I want to be willing and obedient to follow you, Lord Jesus. I want to be obedient to say yes to you. Where you lead, I want God to follow. Where you say go, I want to go. What you say do, I want to do, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You close your eyes, just lift your hands. Let's just feel that to the Holy Ghost just for a moment here tonight. You stand and lift your hands. Amen. Lift your hearts to the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. Somebody say yes to God. Come on. Amen. The Lord's wanting that yes. He wants more than a vocal yes. Hallelujah. He wants a surrendered yes, an opportunity. Hallelujah. Lord, I love you and I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you and I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Don't miss it. Amen. God wants to make you a fisher of men. Oh, Peter, don't shut God down. Amen. Oh, he stepped in your boat with mercy and he wants to make you to become something. He wants to start off in your life and with greatness and the small obedience. Hallelujah. 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 I can't turn this service loose yet. Hallelujah. I can't turn you loose yet. Amen. The test was going to be, this is a class. The test is going to be upon how you answer today. You may say yes with your mouth, but are you going to say it with your heart? Is there something that you're wrestling with that you need to surrender to God? Amen. I want you to step out of your chair. Amen. I want you to come lift your hands. Hallelujah. Come on, give God a little moment today. You're not too busy. Oh, I'm washing my nets. Hallelujah. Won't you meet the Lord right up here tonight? Amen. Won't you come lift your hands, brother and sister? Hallelujah. Somebody needs to do some business with the King of Kings tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, come do some business with the King. Come on, do some business with the Lord of hosts tonight. Hallelujah, Lord. I love and I worship you, God. Hallelujah. Holy you are, Lord. Righteous you are, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, here am I. Here am I, God. Here am I, God. Come on, that little thing that you're wrestling with, won't you hand it over to God? It's not worth you just constantly battling. Amen. It's not worth it, you taking and destroying your opportunity. Amen. Come on, say yes to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Right where you're at tonight. Amen. You're before the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Lord, here am I, God. Here is my life, Lord. I want to give my all to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, talk to the Lord with me tonight. Lord, I love you. Hallelujah, I love you and I need you, Jesus.
If all is what you ask of me, I
Come on, give to the Lord tonight.
Every best, help me remember Calvary's cross and be willing to say yes.
Come on, be willing tonight.
I will give you all. I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold. And if my sacrifice is less than giving you my very best, help me remember Calvary's cross and be willing to say yes. I will give you all. I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me,
I will not withhold. And if my sacrifice is less than giving you my very best, help me remember Calvary's cross and be willing to say yes. I will give you all. I will give you all. If all is what ask of me, I will not withhold. And if my sacrifice is less than giving you my very best,
help me remember Calvary's cross and be willing to say yes.
I will give you all. I will my sacrifice is less than giving you my very best.
Help me remember Calvary's cost and be willing to say yes.
I will give you all. I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold. And if my sacrifice is less
than giving you my best,
help me remember Calvary's cross and be willing to say yes. One more time, sing it. I will give you all. I will give you all. Of me, I will not withhold. And if my sacrifice is less than giving you my very best,
help me remember Calvary's cross and be willing to say yes.
Hallelujah. Would you thank the Lord for his word tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I feel this tonight. You think, well, man, who's this for tonight? It's for you. He didn't miss you. God don't miss when he aims. And he's aiming at your life with full intentions to use you. But the key is simple obedience. Learning to obey the small things graduates you to a greater realm of God's blessing. But that don't mean we graduated, bro. Amen. We're just learning and we're just receiving from the hand of the help of God. Amen. Praise God. So blessed to have every one of you tonight. Is that Jose? Jesus. Good to have you again with us. Amen. Always great to see you, man. And also, Ricky, good to see you, man. So good to see you again. And those of you in the house of the Lord tonight, every one of you, You're important to God. You're important to us. And we want to grow to heaven. How? Huh? Amen. God bless you. Would you greet one another in Jesus' name? Amen. I love every one of you. Thank God for you tonight.
Okay, I've seen it during service. I was like, huh?
Thank you so much. Where is he going?